David, lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. I am Rob West. This passage powerfully reminds us that God owns everything, and we're merely stewards of what he has entrusted to us for a season. Today, Cody Hobelman joins us to discuss how you can establish your first financial finish line. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we are absolutely delighted to welcome Cody Hobelman to the program for the first time. Cody is a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor. He has an article in our new publication, Faithful Steward, that I can't wait for you to read. He's also the founder, alongside his brother Keelan, of an incredible movement that you can find at finishlinepledge.com, and we'll talk about that a little later in the broadcast. But first, Cody, great to have you here.
Thanks, Rob. I'm glad to be here.
All right, Cody, your article is titled Setting Your First Finish Line, which I don't think many people do, but they should, because prosperity is challenging, to say the least. And we certainly experience that living in the most prosperous nation in the history of the world. But I love where you start this article, because you point out this really isn't unique to us, is it?
You know, Rob, it's really not. And in this passage that you kicked us off with from Deuteronomy, the Israelites have been wandering for 40 years in the desert. They're standing across the Jordan River from the Promised Land, their destination that they've been working towards this whole time. Yeah. And Moses takes time to address the entire nation of Israel. And he knew something about the Promised Land, and he wanted them to be prepared that as they enter in, they would be facing a challenge that was more difficult than hunger, disease, or even attacks from rival nations. And that is prosperity.
Yes.
You see, Moses knew they would be tempted to rely on their own strength and take credit for the abundance that God was about to give to this nation. Yes. And he wanted to remind them that this is actually God's provision. It belongs to him, and we would only ever be stewards of that gift.
That's right.
However, today we face that same test. And I faced it in my own life, I would say at times not very well. I'm learning. But in recent years, there's a tool that I was introduced to that has dramatically changed the way that I see finances, and that is a financial finish line.
Well, I appreciate your transparency on that and the great work you've done to encourage God's people to really lean into this idea. I want to dive into the nuts and bolts of the various approaches to giving first, though, because you provide a really helpful, what you call allocation framework in the article. Share these ideas around giving.
Yeah, I'd love to. So allocation simply refers to how do we answer the questions, how much should I give or how much should I keep? And we've seen five major ways that people answer these questions. It's spontaneous giving, a giving goal, percentage giving, incremental percentage giving, and a financial finish line.
Okay.
Spontaneous giving is exactly what it sounds like. It's giving without a whole lot of planning beforehand. A giving goal is picking a number. I want to give X dollars this year, for example.
Sure.
Percentage giving, this is a pretty common one. You pick a percentage of whatever you earn, and that's what you give.
Yeah.
Incremental percentage giving builds some growth into that, so you're increasing the percentage of your income that you give over time. And we've probably heard of many of these frameworks.
Yeah.
However, a financial finish line flips everything on its head. This is where we define a maximum for our spending, which forces you to recognize that this is all God's. We are stewards. We only need so much of his provision for our own needs. And everything above that number can be used to build his kingdom.
That is powerful. And I'm sure our listeners found themselves in one of those giving models that you unpack there. They're giving spontaneously, or they set their annual goal, or they say, you know what, 10% is that number. Or maybe they get a little more advanced and say, all right, it's 10% this year, but next year it's going to be 11 and then 12 after that. But this idea of a financial finish line, recognizing it's all God's and then saying, how much are we going to keep, actually flips the whole paradigm upside down. So when we come back here, Cody, I can't wait to walk through the mechanics of what this actually looks like. Folks, you might be able to set your very first financial finish line. Cody Hobelman's going to help you do just that. He's here today. He's a CFP and a certified Kingdom advisor, and we got a lot more to come just around the corner. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word.
As parents, we often have to say no for very good reasons. But sometimes, if we were honest, the answer would be, I don't feel like it, or I'm tired, or maybe I'd just rather do something else. We may not realize it, but we often project our own proclivities onto God our Father when we pray to Him. But He is not like us. He does not grow tired or weary. His heart is always good and is inclined toward us. When He says no, it's always in His wisdom and for our good. As 1 John 5:14 assures us, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Try out Anchor Devotional today. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Have you added AFR on Roku? With it, you can quickly access AFR programming live.
I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View.
The majority of Americans actually want to live in reality.
As well as podcasts of all your favorite shows.
Hi, this is Sandy Rios, and you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7.
AFR on Roku is another way to stay informed, equipped, and motivated as we join together to restore godly values in our nation. AFR on Roku. Add it today.
We are grateful for support from Crossmark Global Investments. They are a faith-based firm with a goal of offering values-based investments to help align financial choices and faith, ensuring a portfolio that reflects what matters most. Crossmark does this through investment solutions that span the capital market spectrum, from large cap to small cap strategies, including equity, fixed income, and balanced strategies. They are led by industry veteran Bob Dahl, CFA, a regular guest on the Faith and Finance program. More information is available at crossmarkglobal.com.
We're grateful for support from Timothy Plan. For more than 30 years, they've served clients on a biblically responsible journey to invest in a way that honors God and gives dignity to people's lives. More information is at timothyplan.com. The investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses are contained in the prospectus and summary prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foreside Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Have you ever thought about creating a financial finish line? What is it? Well, we're going to help you understand that today. Cody Hobelman is here. Cody is a part of a movement called the Finish Line Pledge. You can check it out at finishlinepledge.com alongside his brother Keelan. He's also a certified Kingdom advisor and a certified financial planner. Cody has an article in the new Faithful Steward publication titled Setting Your First Finish Line. If you'd like to ensure that this incredible publication arrives at your door each quarter, you can head to our website, faithfi.com, click give. You'll help us reach more people with this message and ensure that you get this every quarter. But today we're talking about finish lines. And Cody, before the break, you shared with us various
allocation frameworks, you called them, like spontaneous giving or percentage giving, even an incremental percentage giving approach that allows you to increase that over time. But as we said, the financial finish line is really the only approach that says it all belongs to God, and I'm just going to decide how much I keep. So let's walk through the mechanics of what this actually looks like to set a finish line.
You know, Rob, it really starts by building and maintaining a solid plan for your finances. And the way I see it, you can break down your personal finances into four categories.
Okay.
That's personal spending, taxes, planning for the future, and kingdom building. Personal spending is anything that you spend to maintain your current lifestyle. That's things like transportation, housing, clothing, food. These are things that we're used to budgeting for. Planning for the future involves savings for things that you're not spending on today. So this could be a car purchase you see coming up in the future. It could be you're saving up for a home or some kind of real estate, or even retirement, for example.
Sure.
Taxes, we all know about taxes.
Yeah.
I don't think I need to explain that one. And then kingdom building is really anything that is focused on others. So that's usually in the form of giving to a ministry or to an individual or some other kind of impact work that's not focused on yourself.
Okay. Yeah, that's helpful to put it into those buckets. And we're going to dial into personal spending, or what we might call lifestyle spending. And we often say, Cody, on this program, that lifestyle is the primary determinant of financial success. And so this really is the area we need to zero in on, right?
Exactly. And that's why in my own story and in our recommendations, we always say you should start with your lifestyle finish line because of the level of importance that that has for anyone on this journey. So that looks like setting a maximum that you're willing to spend on your own lifestyle.
Okay.
And it's easy to think about that as a monthly amount.
Yeah.
So what this really accomplishes is it protects you against lifestyle creep or just the rising cost of your lifestyle when that's not what you intended.
Yeah.
It keeps you aligned with God's purposes for your finances. And there are several ways that people arrive at how to set their spending finish line, but I want to give you three of the most common ways that people have done this from my own experience.
Okay.
The first is a maintenance spending finish line. It's probably the simplest because it simply is locking in your current spending. So if you believe that your current spending on your lifestyle is appropriate and you don't intend for it to grow beyond what you intended, what you can do is say, I'm drawing a line. That is your maintenance spending finish line. I'm not going to increase from here.
Yeah, and that's a big idea in and of itself, Cody, because as we know, our level of spending always rises to our level of income unless we protest to the contrary. So drawing that line would ensure that additional increases in income would not just be gobbled up in more lifestyle spending, right?
That's right.
Excellent.
The second method, this is actually how Keelan and I set our own finish lines, and it's a somewhat popular method, is to look at what is reasonable, and that's using census data. There's all kinds of ways to arrive at this, but we call it a benchmark spending finish line because you're not making this decision purely from your own opinion. You're looking out and trying to get objective data to help inform your decision of where to set a benchmark. And what we've done is actually created a website that you mentioned, finishlinepledge.com. On our website, you can find a calculator that we used when setting our own finish lines, and many people have found that to be a helpful tool as well.
Yeah, and I would really encourage you to check that out, finishlinepledge.com/calculator. They've really taken the guesswork out of this. All right, you mentioned there was a third approach.
There is, and this is what we call your prioritization spending finish line. And really, the long and short of it is, once you have an idea of what you're currently spending, you can look at where that money is flowing, and you can start to build out categories and decide which one of these are really aligned with my values and what God says is important, and what is actually distracting me from that. And as you start to whittle away at the things that are not helping you align your heart with God's will for your life, you can zero in on a more targeted budget. So it's working your way down, cutting the fat, and focusing your finish line on the things that are highest priority in your life.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Well, of course, to get started, folks can go to finishlinepledge.com/calculator. But I'd love for you just to talk about where they go from here beyond the website, because by virtue of the title of this article, Your First Finish Line, it means this is a living process that is going to happen over time. So where do they start?
That's absolutely right. And it can feel like a really big decision. And honestly, for me, it felt like a sacrifice when I first heard of this concept. So what we recommend is try it out for 3 or 6 months. We've talked to several people who have done just that. And you know, Rob, I'm not sure I've seen anyone actually turn back after a trial run. And that's because there's a significant transformation that happens on a spiritual level once you actually put structures in to align your finances and submit it to God and say, what do you want for my life? And what have you given me to pursue that? So that's why we use the language set your first spending finish line, because nobody expects to master something the first time they try it. So this is something that's meant to be dialed in and adjusted throughout time. And there are very legitimate reasons to do so, but it is so much better to start somewhere and adjust over time than to never start at all.
Yeah, that's well said. Is this only for ultra high net worth clients, Cody?
You know, Rob, when I set my first finish line, I was actually 26 years old. My wife was in school working part-time. We were so far from what we thought was enough. Yeah. And what happened in my own story is it actually radically broadened my view of what God had for my life, because I saw I'm actually way closer to having enough than I ever thought. If you never define enough, you'll never reach it. So by actually having a number where I could say, I don't need more than this, it allowed me to really explore what God had for my life. So I believe there's a real spiritual significance to defining enough, even if you don't feel like you have enough today.
That's well said. We've got just about 20 seconds left. Is this a conversation you should have with your advisor as well, Cody?
I think it is, because advisors, especially CKAs, will have training in how to do this. They may even have a finish line themselves, and they're used to helping you implement something like this, not only for your income, but for your net worth as well.
Wow, that's so good. We're going to have you back, but I really appreciate these insights. Folks, check out finishlinepledge.com. Take the pledge, jump into the calculator. You will be glad you did. Cody, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks, Rob.
That's Cody Hobelman, certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor. Check out his article in the latest edition of Faithful Steward. All right, your calls are next. The number, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. I'm Rob West, and this is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This weekend on The Stand Radio, we'll look at the difference between kids who are taught self-respect rather than self-esteem. Dr. Jill Garner will be our guest.
And you look at our young adults today and how so many are struggling, and so they have to have crutches to even help hold them up. All of that is the result of the emphasis on self-esteem.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
FaithFi is grateful for support from One Ascent. One Ascent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. One Ascent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at oneascent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
You're young. You don't go to the doctor that often, yet health insurance is still so expensive. If your health insurance costs too much, maybe you should switch to an affordable alternative. Take charge of your healthcare with Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM offers programs starting under $100 per month. Check off the affordable box on your list and get back to what you really love, running your business or caring for your kids, and have peace of mind while doing it. Visit chministries.org/faithfi to enroll today.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Well, what a treat to have my friend Cody Hobelman here. Cody is a certified Kingdom advisor, but somebody who's just really, he and his brother Keelan have leaned into this topic of finish lines, and they're writing on it, they have a podcast on it, and they've created that financial calculator that I think is really helpful for a lot of folks. But the big idea of a finish line is all around enough. How much is enough? And it really flips the script on thinking about managing God's money, because so often we say, all right, how much should I give away? And when we stop and we flip that upside down and we say instead, how much should I keep? Well, it's a simple change, and yet it's significant. It's profound, because when you start to say, how much should I keep, or how much is enough, it requires you to really think deeply about, you know, what God has entrusted to you and what lifestyle he's called you to, and what does it look like to live simply, as the Bible talks about. And this is not about, you taking a vow of poverty. There's nothing wrong with wealth. In fact, it's a good gift from God. And in addition to giving it away and investing it, we're to enjoy it, we see in 1 Timothy, and we're to use it to provide for our families. And so this is not about any kind of shame or anything like that, but it is to say, as a manager of God's resources, whatever passes through my hands, how much should I keep for my lifestyle? How much should I accumulate for the future? And what should I do with the rest? And, you know, we can see very clearly what's on the heart of God in Scripture, those places that we're to prioritize our giving and our investing. But really having that thoughtful conversation between you and the Lord, and if you're married, you and your spouse and the Lord, on the finish line, both lifestyle and accumulation, to Cody's point, could be a dramatic experience for you as you experience new intimacy with the Lord, as you're released to lean into where God might be leading you, to be able to direct capital. It's an incredible opportunity, and I think it's one that we all need to consider. And to Cody's point, perhaps well before you reach whatever that finish line is, just to go through that exercise and say, Lord, how much should I be spending? Because there's not a quote-unquote Christian lifestyle. You know, it'd be very simple if in God's Word it said, here's what you should live on, and then you should give the rest away. You won't see that. And so I think that's a good thing, because it takes us back to our knees and we have a conversation with the Lord to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then as you follow through in obedience and trust and, you know, take this courageous step, which is often what it is as you begin to implement a finish line, watch what God does. It might be just the thing that you're looking for in your life. So give that some thought today. If we can help with that question or any others today, we'll be taking your calls here in just a moment. The number to call, 800-525-7000. I've got just a couple of lines open, but if you have a financial question today, we'd love for you to get in on the conversation. Again, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in Tennessee today. Hi, Sandy. How can I help?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have, I'm living on a fixed income now, and my life insurance policies are, I've had them for a good while, and I can't keep on paying that. So I asked my agent, who is now retired because of his heart problems. But anyways, he sent me an email showing me what he had asked the company. He says, please provide the reduced paid up life insurance amount.
Yeah.
And then they sent me back, per your email request, the reduced paid up option shows the death benefit would be, instead of $250,000, if I kept on paying it, it would be $99,800.
Okay.
And my son said, is it a guarantee? And then I noted at the bottom from that person, it was a little note underneath their name. Please note that this is only a quote of policy values and does not guarantee payment. Any payment will be based upon review and, you know, several little things after that. So, I mean, is it guaranteed or?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just concerned.
Well, yeah, no, I appreciate that. And so what you're talking about is one of the options I would have suggested. So for folks that have these whole life policies that become increasingly expensive, we need to look at options to be able to either surrender the policy and take the policy's cash value out. And so you would just, you know, cancel the policy. And do you, by the way, do you know what your cash value is if you were to just surrender the policy altogether?
No, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, so that would be one question, because I would ask the question, do you even need the life insurance at this point? Because to your point, it's going to continue to become more and more expensive, and on a fixed income, that's probably not possible. So one option is just to cancel the policy and take whatever cash value there is. Anything that in the cash value that goes beyond the premiums you paid in will be taxable, but it could be that, you know, the cash value is actually less than your cost basis, and therefore there would be no tax. And so you could just surrender it. The other option is to convert it, to your point, to a paid up policy. And so essentially what happens is you take that policy cash value and you convert it to a policy that requires no future premiums, but with a smaller death benefit, which is what you said they quoted you, $250,000 down to just under $100,000. And generally what would happen is, they would you guarantee that. So you'd need to check the policy document. Right now they're saying it's a quote, and so you would have to sign off on this. But in the fine print, you'd want to make sure the company will specify, you know, when you can use that paid up option, and they can confirm, you know, that it is in fact guaranteed. And that would typically be the way that it would work. They would essentially apply everything you've paid in, to a true paid up policy. The question you would have to ask is, could the cash value be depleted, or no matter how long I live, is this a guaranteed payout? So let's do this. I'm up against a break here. I want to chat a bit more offline and talk about your next steps. We'll be right back.
In rural Malawi, baby Esther was taken in by her grandparents when her mother died. Resources were scarce, and Esther suffered from malnutrition for years until God transformed her life. Today, through Cross International, Esther receives nutritious meals, drinks clean water, and is taught about the hope found only in Jesus. But other children are still waiting. Make an eternal impact on a child now with a $62 gift at crossinternational.org/faith.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Financial fear is real, but so is God's promise to provide. At FaithFi, we know the daily stress of money can overwhelm your heart. But Jesus reminds us to look at the birds of the air. They don't worry, and yet our Heavenly Father feeds them. In Look at the Sparrows, a 21-day devotional, you'll find peace by focusing on God's faithfulness as you discover how to overcome financial anxiety with faith. Visit faithfi.com/sparrows and begin your journey with Look at the Sparrows today.
The feature-length documentary Culture Warrior, Don Wildman and the Battle for Decency, premiering November 11th, chronicles the life and ministry of Don Wildman. It takes you through the founding of the National Federation for Decency, what has become AFA. It's a call to stand firm for righteousness and shows how that resolve can make a huge difference in our world.
If we lose this cultural war, we're going to have a hedonistic, humanistic society.
Find out more and watch the trailer at culturewarrior.movie.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Coming up in our final segment, Bob Dahl stops by. We'll get Bob's take on what's moving the markets. We're starting off the week off more than 1% on the Dow, off 2% on the S&P, off 3% on the NASDAQ. So clearly the market's under some pressure as the sell-off that started several weeks ago continues to gain some steam. And, you know, we're reading that this is coming as a result of recession fears, in part tied to the tariffs, but in part just to a slowing economy that we've been talking about for quite some time. The market, by all estimates, was potentially as much as 20% overvalued, according to many economists and market analysts, as we started the year. So we've got some room to give back some of the profits from the last couple of years, for sure, just based on the market being priced for near perfection. And as the economy slows, and it does, remember, it moves in cycles, you know, we're going to see the market pull back. We'll get Bob's take on all of that straight ahead. In the meantime, taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. You can call right now. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Paul. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes. Yes. I guess first I'd like a terminology clarification. With the word estate, there's been something that's always confusing to me. You know how you go to financial seminars and they say, well, you know, you can have a will or you can have an estate. And then for somebody who only has a will, when they pass away and you go through probate, then that whole entity is called an estate. Are they really become like the same animal, or are they really two different things? And then I'll get to my question after I clarify that in my mind.
It's a good question. And so essentially your estate, when you hear people refer to that in a legal setting, refers to everything you have that you have, you know, that you own or have title to. So, you know, it's the interest you have in property, which is, you know, real estate, land and anything permanently attached to it, your personal estate, movable property, like money and jewelry and furniture. And then, you know, you would, hear that referred to as a life estate, ownership for someone's lifetime. And then obviously, you know, part of your estate is any other property or assets as well. So it basically has to do with the total property, both real and personal, that's owned by an individual. And it typically is referred to in the context of an inheritance, or what somebody owns that would then be available after death. And that's what, when you hear this term, settling an estate, has to do with the transfer of that real and personal property. Does that make sense?
Yes, thank you very much. Now I'll get to my question, which is kind of a really little niche corner. I have a relative of the deceased. They did not set up a formal estate, and I've already gone through probate, and I'm the executor, and I have the letters, testamentary, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, as part of handling things, I've created an estate bank account, and I have the, you know, the number from the IRS. The question I have is, because I also have an LLC, I'm aware of the beneficial ownership information requirement from FinCEN, which is a Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, Department of the U.S. Treasury. I'm just saying those words for the listeners. I'm pretty mm-hmm. sure you know what that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the question comes down to, it pretty much is says, well, you know, if you have a company formed by your Texas, or you know, for me, Texas, your Secretary of State, then you need to report people who are in control of that. And then it, like typical government, it says, or anything that's kind of like that. So my real question is, in the course of everything you've done, have you come across anybody with an opinion that says, if you're the executor of an estate, is that something you should report, like if you were, you know, the power controlling a company?
Yeah, yeah. It's a good question. And, you know, you would probably want to get, a legal opinion on that to be definitive. Here's what I would say, just kind of generally to this. Generally, you would not need to report your role as an executor to the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network unless the estate's financial activities trigger those reporting requirements. So where might that happen? Well, if the estate, to your point, controls or owns a business that's required to file that BOI report, then you may need to update the report if the executor, you, becomes the controlling party. If the business was previously reported under the deceased name, then you might need to update FinCEN with that new responsible party, now yourself as executor. The other would be, you know, if you as executor handle cash transactions exceeding $10,000, the bank may report the transaction to FinCEN. You wouldn't need to file anything yourself. That's just going to happen automatically. And then there's the SAR, the suspicious activity reports. If the estate is involved in suspicious transactions, large wire transfers, things like that, then the financial institution could file the suspicious activity report. That would be very unlikely. So it would generally come down to you, once you assume your role as executor, if there's a business that's required to file that BOI report, then you may need to update yourself as the controlling party. I will say that, you know, and I suspect you've heard this. I mean, it's very new, so there's still a lot of guidance that's coming. But I think it was just March the 2nd where the Treasury Department said it will suspend enforcement of the Corporate Transparency Act and therefore the beneficial ownership information reporting requirement for U.S. citizens. And anyone domestic that had to report previously. So that would mean that potentially, according to this guidance, that there's no longer a requirement to file those BOI reports and no penalties or fines if you are non-compliant. And so we're going to need to watch this. It hasn't been entirely eliminated. Again, they've just said they're not going to enforce anything. And this is so new, we'll see ultimately where this is headed under the Trump administration. But this is just one of their efforts to try to curb what they deem as unnecessary regulatory authority that's, you know, getting in the way of business flourishing in the way that, you know, they would like to in this economy. Does that all make sense, though?
Yes. Was this just yesterday? Because I was on the website today and I followed the court case flip-flop. And the last thing that I read was, okay, they're still saying deadline March 21st.
Interesting. Yeah. And so I think this is all still a work in progress. It was the Treasury Department announcement came on March the 2nd. I've not seen anything beyond that with any kind of clarification. So that's why I'm saying be sure to look for guidance there. And when in doubt, you know, make sure your filings are in on time and accurate to the extent there is not clarity there. But I think going back to your original question, as executor, it would really come down to, are you an executor of a business that is required to file that BOI report? And if so, then you would need to update the report, you know, if you are now the controlling party.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. We appreciate your call, Paul. Thanks for being with us today. Well, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Bob Dahl will stop by. Again, the market under some pressure today. Dow Jones, NASDAQ, S&P 500 all selling off. The NASDAQ is selling off extensively. Again, we're approaching about 3.5% down today. We'll get Bob's take on that straight ahead. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
To sharpen the biblical worldview of Christians and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. That is the mission of the Christian Worldview Radio program. I'm host David Wheaton, inviting you to join us this Saturday morning at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, as we discuss all matters of life and faith from a decidedly biblical perspective. The Christian Worldview, Saturday mornings at 9 Eastern, 8 Central, right here on American Family Radio.
How much control, unfortunately, the executive office does have to direct a lot of these procedures in terms of amnesty, you know, what they can do, even though Congress needs to step it up. And we know constitutionally they should be making sure that the law reflects the American position. But law enforcement is the executive branch. And if you're not enforcing the law, then the law is merely just on paper.
Jenna Ellis in the morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Have you ever wondered where your money goes when you deposit it in a bank? Christian Community Credit Union believes in helping advance God's kingdom through everyday financial transactions. For over 67 years, they have provided values-aligned banking solutions to thousands of Christians and ministries. Consider Christian Community Credit Union as your banking institution by visiting joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today, 800-525-7000. We're starting out the market, the trading week, with some significant downward pressure, just extending the sell-off that started several weeks ago, possible recession, tariffs. The market was priced for near perfection, as we talked about many times with Bob Dahl, and I think we're seeing that that downward pressure as a result as the economy is weakening. With us in this segment, our good friend Bob Dahl. He's CEO and CIO at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob, not the best way to start the week. What do you make of this downward pressure?
You know, it's more of the same. It's hard to believe, Rob, that less than a month ago, the stock market was at an all-time high.
Yeah.
We suffered this decline now, 8% for the S&P 500, 13% from NASDAQ, just in the last month. I guess if I had to put one word on it, it would be the erosion of confidence. Markets don't like uncertainty, and we have increasing amounts of it, Rob. We don't have a lot of data to say the world has changed, but we have a lot of question marks that people didn't ask a month ago, having to do with tariffs and the job market and consumer spending and inflation and tax cuts, and the list goes on with not a lot of answers. And until that confidence comes back, or at least neutralizes, it's probably not going to be very pretty. I would say quickly on top of that, markets are down a lot, as we just pointed out, in a short amount of time. They're getting oversold. So at some point we'll get a bounce, Rob. It's not going to be straight down, in my view.
Yeah, very good. Bob, just kind of taking that a step further, how much of this do you think is just the lack of confidence related to uncertainty and the tariffs? And how much would you say is just because of the data that's really pointing to a meaningful slowdown, or at least the beginning of it, with regard to the economy?
I think it's more the uncertainty. Now, that isn't to negate the fact that there is evidence, as we've been talking since before the first of the year, that the economy is slowing. Consumption, job growth, slowing, but at a very slow, gradual pace. That seems to be picking up a bit here, and you used the word in the introduction, and we heard it from the president over the weekend. Don't count out a recession. And that is very different from a month ago when it was onward and upward, life is great.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Yeah, that's an interesting pivot for him, because we didn't really hear much of that in the previous administration. And, you know, he's been kind of laying the groundwork for this transition from the public to the private, model of operating here as an economy, and really trying to push everything over to U.S. businesses, create an environment for that transition to occur. But perhaps we're going to have some choppy waters while we see that come to pass.
Well said. Both from the president and Secretary of the Treasury Bessent, they've over the last few days talked about that. And that's clearly what they're trying to do. Look, if you and I were building the economy from scratch, we probably wouldn't have as much in government as exists there now. And they recognize that. They're trying to push some of the private sector and some things back down to the states, so the size of the federal government can shrink somewhat. Now, a painful process. I'm not saying it's easy, but I think we will end up with a more efficient and effective economy once we get through this ugly period.
Yeah. One of the interesting observations, Bob, is that it seemed like for the last however many, a good number of years, it really was just largely driven by the Fed action. And we're not talking about the Fed as much right now. Why is that?
Very curious and absolutely right point. Look, we've had a period of several years now where the government has spent tons of money, incremental amounts of money. And so the economy, in fact, if you look where jobs have been added, it's been primarily the government, healthcare, and education, a lot of which is funded by the government. So take those three things out. Job growth has been much slower. So this is not new. It's now just being focused on, and it's a bit of a rude awakening. Again, back to also where you started, market was expensive, was priced for near perfection, and our argument was and still is, it's not perfect. It never is. But it better be at those kind of prices. And we're down a bit. The PE's come down from, call it, 23 times to 21.5 times. Still expensive relative to history.
Yeah, very helpful. Bob, a couple of kind of one-off questions from some listeners. Just see if you have any updated information on this. There's been some confusion around just this reporting requirement with FinCEN and the beneficial ownership interest, and the Treasury Department said, well, we're not going to really enforce that. Do you know what the latest is on that, kind of given this deadline that's coming up at the end of the month?
I don't. It's part of the confusion out there.
Yeah.
They've not given us guidance on timing and exactly what the details are, so I can't be much help here, but no one can yet.
Yeah, very good. And then finally, we had a caller that wanted to know just about Israel bonds. I'm sure, with the obviously a lot of folks just with renewed interest in Israel and wanting to support Israel, but also wanting to think about, getting an appropriate risk-adjusted return. What place does something like that have in the typical investor's portfolio?
For an American portfolio, I would say a very small part. Having specific items outside the U.S. requires some extra knowledge and some extra care. So I would make sure that, along with potential sympathy for Israel and the people of Israel, that an equal amount of analytical firepower goes into that kind of investment decision.
Yeah, that's well said. Bob, finish up today. Just give us a quick broad brush overview of the products you have that you're managing there with values in mind at Crossmark.
So I manage four products, Rob, all large cap U.S., large cap core, large cap growth, and large cap value, all available either in a mutual fund or a separately managed account. Also manage an equity market neutral fund, which is interesting on big down days. We're up so far today because our shorts are going down more than our longs, 100 longs and 100 shorts. It's what's called an absolute return product. And in all four of these products, we're employing the overview of values-based investing, excluding bad companies that make products that kill or maim people, and giving positive tip of the hat to companies that are doing good.
Well, Bob, you're a leader in this space. We're grateful for your friendship and insights each week in this segment. Thanks for stopping by, sir.
Hang in, seatbelts firmly fastened.
That's right. Good idea for today, for sure. God bless you, Bob. We'll talk to you next week.
You too. Bye.
That's Bob Dahl. He's CEO and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments, a Wall Street veteran. You'll see him frequently on CNBC and Fox Business. He joins us each Monday in this segment. All right, let's round out the broadcast today. Let's go to Louisiana. Hi, Lou. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm confused. I'm a little bit confused. I'm 85. I draw Social Security only. I used to do side jobs, and whenever I'd file my taxes, you know, because of the side jobs. And whenever I quit working completely, my CPA said, well, you don't need to even file taxes because you're on Social Security. Now they're talking about cutting taxes on Social Security, so I'm really confused, Rob.
It's a great question, Lou, and I can certainly understand why you would be. Let me just say right off the top, if Social Security is your only income, it is not taxable, and you do not need to file. That's kind of right off the bat. Now, the reason they're talking about cutting Social
Security,
the reason they're talking about cutting it is taxable for some people, but it requires additional income. So for people that have additional income like pensions or rental income or interest or dividends or withdrawals from an IRA or 401k, then part of your Social Security may become taxable, and that's what President Trump is talking about eliminating. So it has to do with something called provisional income, which is the definition of provisional income is 50% of your Social Security plus other income. So your taxable and tax-exempt interest. And if your provisional income, which again is half your Social Security plus other income, if that is above as a single person, you know, $25,000, then it's going to start to make your Social Security taxable. But if all you have is Social Security, there is no tax that will be paid and there is no return that needs to be filed.
Thank you, because all my son was really confused, and he said they're taxing it, so you better check. So I wanted to check and make sure that I was right.
Yeah. I'm glad you did,
I appreciate your answer.
Thank you. Absolutely, sir. Call anytime. We appreciate you being on the program. Well, folks, we're just about out of time here today. Let me thank you for being along with us today. Let's go back to where we started today. You know, we started with this idea of a finish line, which really is an understanding that God owns everything that we have. And that's really our beginning point here at Faith and Finance. You see, you and I have been given this high calling of being a steward. A household manager would be the best translation of that word in the Greek New Testament, of God's resources, the King of Kings resources entrusted to your care and to mine. Our goal, faithfulness. Each day on this program, we want to help you be that wise and faithful steward. We want to do it in a way that is encouraging and hopeful and centered on God's word and with wise counsel. But we also understand that we've all made mistakes along the way, and we don't want to wag a finger at you. What we want to do is just say, hey, let's try to be faithful from this point forward. Let's understand the heart of God in the scriptures. Let's apply his wisdom because it's always right. It's always relevant. It will never change. In the midst of the uncertainty, God is certain and he can be trusted. He is your provider. Let me say thanks to my team today. I certainly couldn't do this without the entire cast and crew here at Faith5, but certainly today, Devin Patrick, my producer, Jim Henry providing great research, and Sandy Dickinson handling our phones today. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.